calls to discuss the presidential election and the barriers preventing an outbreak of democracy in the United States. Press Watch next on KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Community Advisory Board will meet on Tuesday, November 15th at 5:30 p.m. KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Community Advisory Board will meet on Tuesday, November 15th at 5:30 p.m.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
Teresa Mitchell, this is Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know. Protests and rallies against the election of Donald Trump have broken out in several U.S. cities. Protesters in New York City massed between Union Square and Trump Tower, while U.S. citizens also took to the streets in Chicago, Dallas, Austin, Portland, Seattle, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and other cities. Chants heard at the NYC protests included Black Lives Matter, Deport Donald Trump, F Donald Trump, No Fascist USA, Trump You're Fired, Trans Rights Are Human Rights, Women's Rights Are Human Rights, and My Body, My Choice. More than 100 people shut down a major highway through downtown Los Angeles Wednesday night. As of midnight local time, 13 people were arrested. People said more than 7,000 people mobilized in Oakland, California, where tear gas and flashbang grenades were deployed. Bottles, rocks, and firecrackers were thrown at officers, reported NBC Bay Area. 30 people were arrested, a crowd that police estimated at several thousand marched Wednesday night through downtown Seattle, chanting, "Not my president." Dozens of young people chanting, "Hey, hey, ho, ho, white supremacy has got to go," burned a U.S. flag on the campus of American University in Washington, D.C., at Berkeley High School in Berkeley, California, which has significant populations of Hispanics and African Americans. Students staged a walkout while chanting "Love Trump's hate and not our president." In the East Liberty neighborhood of Pittsburgh, hundreds of protesters chanting "No Trump and not my president" marched down Bond Boulevard. Protesters shut down I-5 in both directions in Portland, Oregon. Both more than 400 people chanting anti-Trump slogans clogged the streets of downtown Austin, Texas, and marched to the state capitol. Scores of students walked out of classes at historically black Fisk University to march through the streets of Nashville, Tennessee. So the United States is not taking this sitting down, and that's appropriate, and I'm going to explain why. Those news reports, by the way, were from The Guardian in the UK and from NBC News. From Radio Havana, Cuba, reaction around the world to the ascendancy of Donald Trump to the U.S. presidency was swift and direct. In Tel Aviv, an Israeli minister said that his country should take the advantage of Donald Trump's presidency and put an end to the idea of an independent Palestinian state. Education Minister Naftali Bennett was the first to weigh in from Tel Aviv, saying, quote, "Trump's victory is an opportunity for Israel to immediately retract the notion of a Palestinian state," end quote. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani said the Islamic Republic would make no changes to its policies in the wake of Trump's win. Speaking during a visit to Romania on Wednesday, Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Javad Zarif said the Islamic Republic expected the U.S. president-elect to honor a nuclear deal negotiated with Iran under the outgoing Obama administration. And continuing with Radio Havana, Cuba's coverage, Germany's Foreign Minister Steinmeier said his country respected the outcome of the U.S. presidential election, even though it was not favored by most Germans. The result is not to be underestimated, he said. The result is different from what most of the people in Germany desired. But of course, we have to accept it, end quote. German Minister Ursula von der Leyen also described Trump's victory as a huge shock. Reacting to news of Trump's win earlier in the day, a senior member of German Chancellor Angela Merkel's Conservative Party described the American president-elect as the voice of anger. French President François Hollande said Trump's victory showed that France must be stronger and that Europe must be united. Foreign Minister Jean-Marc Ayrault of France also said Trump's personality traits raised concern. So we all know what happened in the presidential election. Since this is the news you're not supposed to know, I would like to comment first on an aspect of Trump's ascendancy that seems to be missing from the news, either because it is not understood or perhaps because it is unmentionable. We all know, and the electorate surely knew, that President-elect Trump is a venal man. He exults in revenge. He preens. He blusters and threatens. And worse, he punches down. It's part of his personality. He attacks Hispanics, Muslims, and blacks. He doesn't seem to particularly hate the GLPQ community, but his vice president and his supporters in the alt-right and the Nazi and Klan parties surely do. Everyone understands that he is a misogynist, at least, and perhaps a serial molester. But his supporters don't care. And that is the answer to the question of why their support for Trump did not appear in pre-election polls. Why did the polls get it wrong? It's because the polls were lied to by their own subjects. We all know that it's shameful and cheap to punch down, to take out one's frustrations on people who are and have been historically oppressed. Trump's supporters stayed under the radar, didn't answer honestly because they didn't want it known that they intended to act in a despicable manner. They did and do hope that Trump will somehow and against form create extra space for white men, for working class white men who don't want to cop to their festering and irrational resentments. They wanted that privilege, and they didn't want to admit to it because they knew how shameful it is and was to gain advantage by racist and sexist oppression. People voted for Trump as if they were selecting their favorite porn website, and that's because people voted for Trump in order to build up white supremacy. So I have no intention of working with that sort of paradigm, because it is morally bankrupt and deceptive. Besides, I call for constant and open conflict with Trump supporters. They should have no peace, because to sneakily make common cause with racism and sexism is simply to be sexist and racist. No one wants to be called out on that, and so what? The discomfort of sexist, racist Trump supporters is no reason to allow their monstrous leader to take power. Their discomfort is nothing compared to the damage they have done. The legitimacy of their economic complaints has been nullified by their decision to make common cause with fascism. We know what happens historically when fascism is allowed to ascend, even electorally. There are other reasons to mount determined resistance now to President Trump and his bigoted followers. He didn't actually win the election. Quoting the Pew Research Center in a post yesterday, Donald Trump won at least 279 electoral votes, 306 if you include Arizona and Michigan, to Hillary Clinton's 232, including New Hampshire. But the popular vote is a near tie, according to the Pew tally of unofficial, in some cases partial, returns. As of Wednesday afternoon, Clinton was slightly ahead of Trump, 59.6 million votes to 59.4 million. That's a quirk of the system, one might say, but there's far more than that to indicate that the election was thrown. And I am now going to describe how it was done. And as I do so, I encourage you to make a note of it, because the mainstream media, the corporate-owned media, is going to blur that in your mind, and you're going to need to hold on to this. This program will be available for podcast about 15 minutes after I go off the air at 10, and you'll be able to hear it again. But I want to describe how the Republicans threw the election. It's very important because they intend to throw every election. There's been plenty of times since they started doing this sort of thing. There's been talk of reforms. The reforms have been squelched. This is how apartheid rule is going to be mounted from now on, unless we stop it. Every presidential election, we are subjected to gestures and homilies from the corporate press intended to generate a sense of gratitude that we are able to vote. And the implication is that we live in a democracy where we select our leaders and policies. This is simply untrue. Aside from the usual restrictions against informed consent in our political process, this election was thrown by a vote caging system called interstate cross-check. Greg Palast, who has reported for the BBC and Rolling Stone, notes that the system, which is multi-state in reach, eliminates 1 in 6 votes from people of color. It does this by taking common names such as Rodriguez and Jackson and then pretending that each person named in that way who has an even approximate namesake elsewhere is actually committing voter fraud. They are then rejected from the voter rolls. It is a system for maintaining minority white rule, and this is what we are seeing now. Nor is that all that has been deployed, but think how many millions of votes we're talking about if 1 in 6 votes of people of color can be eliminated state after state. And think how close think of the fact that Hillary Clinton actually won the popular vote. And think how many districts, even gerrymandered as they are, would have gone over to Hillary Clinton if this vote suppression scheme was not in place. This election was thrown. The voting machines in Ohio, as you may have heard on Democracy Now!, had an extensive system for photographing and verifying each vote. It was an attempt to modify the fact that votes on electronic machines are invisible, untraceable. That system was shut down purposefully to allow wholesale vote changing on an absolutely opaque and copyrighted software. According to verified voting, of the 53,000 jurisdictions that use DRE equipment as their major voting method, almost 3/4 use systems that don't create paper receipts or other hard copy records of voters' choices. These systems are hackable by thumb drive, infrared, and ultrasonic digital messaging, and they're hackable online, and there's more. Polling systems were shut down purposefully in major cities to force millions of people to vote in hours-long lines. Many, many people were unable to vote simply because they had to return to their jobs because we don't have a voting holiday in the United States. Quoting USA Today, quote, a coalition of more than 100 civil rights and voting rights groups running a national election protection hotline reported that 40% of its calls came from African-American and Hispanic communities. An indication that minority voters were being targeted. The majority of complaints came from California, New York, Texas, Florida, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina, with Florida seeing particularly high levels of voter misinformation. There's a tremendous disruption of the polls today, Wade Henderson said, president of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. Quoting Henderson, this election may be the most chaotic election in the last 50 years. The most widespread problems appear to occur in North Carolina and Colorado, two crucial swing states. In Durham, North Carolina, electronic poll books that are used to check voter registration were down in the morning. Whoops, forcing voters to wait longer and use paper backup copies. The lines got longer and longer. People gave up. The Southern Coalition for Social Justice filed a lawsuit in hopes of forcing the Durham County School Board, Durham County Board of Elections to keep polls open for an additional 90 minutes. In the end, voting was extended by the State Board of Elections for up to an hour in 8 precincts affected by malfunctions. From Cory Doctorow, when the Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act, it meant that the 2016 presidential race would be the first one in 50 years without the fundamental protections the act promised as a check against racist voter suppression. The Leadership Council on Civil and Human Rights has just released a report documenting the closure of over 800 polling places, 800 polling places in districts with historic records of suppressing black voters. Texas alone shut down over 400 polls. In North Carolina, the combination of poll closures, short polling hours, and restrictions on early voting has led to 4-hour voting lines and steep declines in black voter turnout, over 16%. And almost half of all Texas counties in the sample that was taken, closed polling places since the Shelby decision, resulting in 403 fewer voting locations for the 2016 election than in the past years. These closures come as the state's voter ID law has become a leading example of voting discrimination. Since that decision, the Shelby decision, and include reduction in counties like Medina, Caldwell, Nueces, and Galveston, each with established records of discrimination and recent violations of the Voting Rights Act. Now, add these facts together. Add these facts together. And by the way, I would like to talk with you. The number to call is 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Add these facts together. Voter registration purging. Electronic vote switching. Byzantine gerrymandering of districts. Denial of poll stations forcing hours-long lines that people had to abandon. Provisional ballots that aren't counted. Voter intimidation, like the sheriff's car that accosted voters here at the Multnomah County Elections Office saying, vote Trump, and so many other examples. And add the fact that Trump did not win the popular vote. And you can see the forest and not just the trees, that Trump won by mass cheating. Trump won because of a massive nationwide campaign by the Republican Party to deny votes on a racist basis. And of course, he also won because he had a huge near majority of people who are just okay with white supremacy. This presidential election is invalid. We were warned by Bob Fitrakis and Greg Palast and many others that this was possible, that the Republican Party was counting on it. They have done it, and we must not accept it. Trump must not be inaugurated, nor should the Republican majorities in the Senate and the House be respected. The Republican victory is a sham. It's up to us to stop it. And I am calling for committees to form now. Think about the posters you want to put up. Think about what you want to do. I suggest a general strike on January 20th, 2017 to let the Trumpites know that we will not accept their illegitimate throwing of the election. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. From The Intercept, as Donald Trump finishes his campaign with a promise to break the control of Washington by political insiders, his transition team is preparing to hand his administration over to a cozy clique of corporate lobbyists and Republican power brokers. And I'll give you some details on that in just a moment. The number to call, 503-231-8187. And Thomas is on the air.
Well, good morning, Teresa. Here we are.
Here we are.
Well, you know, let me take just a quick side tack here. I mean, we all know the obvious. We've got a racist president. We've got a paranoid and frightened white American male populace. We've got all of these things that we ugly and odious policies, but let's take a step aside and look at our own house for just a second. Let me suggest that figures like Donald Trump always exist in the background, but they can't come into the foreground unless certain conditions are met. And I would say that the key condition for the ascendancy of someone like Donald Trump is to have a Democratic party and Democratic candidates that have not only done nothing for working class people, essentially, for the last 30 years, they have made the pressure, they have filled the swamp from which the Trump mosquito has emerged.
I have to agree. It reminds me of being in Philadelphia and seeing that ugly gesture that the Clinton side of the Democratic Party made, that after all of that enthusiasm, all of that energy they had, I mean, even though Clinton threw her election too, they had an opportunity to bring that part of the party in. Instead, they stuck up their nose.
Absolutely.
There was such snubbery.
Absolutely. And just like the 2010 midterm elections, when Congress when Obama started off the winded his back and had both the Senate and the representatives who were also with the Democrats, they could have done anything they wanted to do. And why did the midterm 2010 elections go to Republicans for Congress? Because Obama did nothing. And all of these angry white males, they have false attributions about people stealing their jobs and their paranoia, et cetera. But here's what they know in their gut. Never mind their deluded heads. Here's what they know in their gut. They are insecure. Their jobs have been drained away by NAFTA trade deals. The banksters that maybe they lost their homes, millions of these people lost their homes, and they're still losing their homes. And what do they know? That a feel-good presidency has done nothing No one went to jail, nothing. It is a desperation move. And I also submit this. This election was not won because droves of Democrats went and voted for Trump or anyone voted for Trump. This election was won by Donald Trump ostensibly because people could not bring themselves to vote for an odious, known malefactor candidate like Hillary Clinton. And I hope that people, well, never mind hope, I would imagine that people inside the DNC that just had to push Hillary Clinton are looking back and thinking now about the fact that every relevant poll showed that Bernie Sanders was way more likely to beat Trump, infinitely more than Hillary Clinton, maybe by 10 or more points. But they had to scuttle Bernie in the primary.
Because Goldman Sachs is more important to them than winning the election. Yeah. And so now they've made their bed and they have to lay in it. Hey, thanks very much for your call. I've got another call coming up. Number to call 503-231-8187. The Trump transition team is a who's who of influence peddlers. The Intercept writes, including energy advisor Michael Catanzaro, a lobbyist for Koch Industries and the Walt Disney Company. Advisor Eric Uland, a Senate Republican staffer who previously lobbied for Goldman Sachs. And transition general counsel William Padalucci, an attorney in New Jersey whose lobbying firm represents Aetna and Verizon. Rick Holt, Christine Ciccioni, Rich Bagger, and Mike Ferguson are among other corporate lobbyists helping to manage the transition efforts. So, surprise! And Anna is on the air. The number to call, 503-231-8187.
Oh, thank you, Teresa. Well, speaking of these very wealthy people and the beautiful day we're having today, I think maybe we really are turning into a banana republic. Anyway, or we already are. And I agree with all that's been said before, and I know that we'll be coming. But, you know, as time went on in this race, I kind of got to believing that Donald had a guarantee, or he wouldn't have been running in the first place.
What sort of
he
guarantee?
He had a guarantee that he would win. And, you know, his good friend Rudy, big ties to the FBI, and some of the other guys I saw on the board of this FBI foundation, you know, the CEO of the organization that owns, what is it, the National Enquirer, so things could be suppressed there, news, quote-unquote, and the CEO in Toronto that has the big Trump building, and then his convicted felon buddy who assesses luxury resorts, all tied in with the FBI. So that's just another little piece of it, and carry on, because I love you best, and thank you so much.
Well, thanks for calling in. I just saw a little white and black nose poked through the door. It's Cosmo the radio dog. All right, the number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. With the United States emerging from one of the most bitterly divisive presidential races in its history, throngs of Americans find themselves deeply distrustful and even fearful of the winner, Donald Trump. But few groups have expressed dismay and fear as uniformly as the nation's trans people, who already report discrimination, harassment, and violence at rates starkly higher than the general population. This is from The Guardian. And I would add to that, for example, in Tennessee, a trans woman's pickup truck was burned, and the word Trump was sprayed on it. On Wednesday, The Guardian writes, those who spoke to The Guardian saw Trump's election as destined to hobble their movement after years in which their acceptance grew by leaps and bounds. And they said they feared an immediate cultural reckoning. Kate Brenner, a trans woman on Long Island, said she was absolutely terrified for trans people and their movement. By Wednesday morning, it seemed as though every trans person she knew had gone into mourning. A friend of hers in California posted on social media about going back into the closet. It might be safer passing as a straight cisgender person, said this person who spoke to The Guardian on condition of anonymity. I'm scared, they continued. I've been out and proud for most of my life with supportive people around me. I'd never had to deal with this kind of fear before. Their fiance is also frightened to live openly as a transgender person. We're both scared to continue. Quoting, we did not know before how we wanted to define ourselves, if we even wanted to. Now we're scared to even have a conversation. And there's more on that article at The Guardian. And I, of course, I'm transgender, and I feel that. I particularly feel it when I enter or leave a public restroom, and so that I can go out and about in public, I have had to, I'm saying this just because I'm explaining how bad the situation has become. I have a little pepper spray canister, and I make sure to have my hand on it when I'm going in or coming out, and that's what it's like now. And I also want to say, with the people that Trump is likely to put in, there's some question as to whether trans people will continue to have health care. It might take them a year or so to wipe that out. There's no doubt that the confrontations will escalate and continue. For myself, I am a dedicated fighting anarcho-socialist American. I will fight this administration. I will not stop. It may be at some point, I've not made this decision, maybe at some point that I need to live somewhere else, but I won't even do that unless I absolutely have to. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and David is on the air.
Hello?
Hi, David.
Yeah, hey. So here's what I'm interested, curious about. You know, we know that in 2000 and 2004, at least, the elections were stolen through those various methods you mentioned, including electronic voting fraud and the caging and so forth. And, of course, surely the Democrats know this, right?
Right.
At the time, they did nothing in both elections, virtually nothing, right? And here it's been, and that now we've had a Democrat president in power for 8 years that he could have used the bully pulpit and federal authority of various sorts to fix that problem, but didn't.
Yeah, it's a strange thing, isn't it? It's a strange thing, isn't it? And my opinion on it has been that the Democrats like to use it when it's convenient for them. For example, in the primary race, putting down Bernie Sanders, you know, and they've got the corporate media adding to that, adding to the illegitimacy of the people's popular choice, so that the corporate media showed more time of Trump's empty podium than they ever gave to any speech in total, to any of Bernie Sanders' speeches.
Right. So their inaction on something that clearly can make them lose the federal the national election, I mean, it points to a collusion. It points to there's no reason to think that a party that will say, gosh, we got robbed 15 years ago, and then we got robbed again because we didn't lock the back door.
Oh, you got to watch your language. And so that's why you hear an abrupt change and We have to blip when that sort of thing happens, and we have to hang up. I wasn't against anything that you were saying. I was glad to hear that what you were saying, but well, blip, and that's the way it goes. FCC regs. That's the way it happens. Now, once again, I am saying that this election is illegitimate. It was thrown, and the previous caller was saying that this has been going on for years, and why is that? I would add to that that when it comes to the electronic vote switching, there were countermeasures taken that would have been affected, but they were switched off, we know, in Ohio and surely in other places. Those countermeasures would have allowed a photograph of each vote, which would be kept and then available so that you had perhaps the equivalent of actual physical ballots. That was switched off. So once again, I'm inviting your calls, and I want you to add these facts together. Voter registration purging, electronic vote switching, Byzantine gerrymandering of districts, denial of poll stations forcing hours-long lines that people had to abandon, voter intimidation, and the fact that Trump did not win the popular vote. And you will understand just by the numbers that you can assign to that. You know, as I said before, Greg Palast has determined that 1 in 6 people of color has been denied the right to vote because of that interstate cross-check voter registration purging system. Trump did not win the popular vote, and he would not even have won the electoral vote if it were not for cheating. This presidential election is invalid. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Linda's on the air.
Hi. Thank you, Teresa, for this show. I'm planning on posting it to my Facebook after it's up on the web and being able to send it out to other people so they can get a cohesive look at why we would say that this election wasn't won by Trump. but stolen by Trump. And so I really appreciate what you're saying. I wanted to add a couple of things. My sister, who's and I are like-minded, we were talking in the week before about that there seemed to be a change in the oligarchy. So not a change in the sentiments of the people of the land, but a change in the oligarchy. Along with that FBI stuff, there are several different ways the FBI pleaded in favor of Trump's family, et cetera. There was that kind of thing, and it made you start thinking, that's an agency within the administration that was doing that, and it seemed to look like more of a split than I would have expected. And the second thing was that they spent so much time talking about we must have a peaceful transition, as if we had never experienced the Supreme Court illegally stepping outside
exactly.
their constitutional bounds to appoint a president.
Oh, you're not supposed to remember that.
Yeah, it's not even that long ago. A lot of us were alive during it. But I don't know if you noticed, but all the mainstream media were just hitting on it harder and harder up to the day of the election. And that's so a day like this could come, and we're supposed to think we need to stay home. Peaceful transition is the most important thing, not whether he won or not.
They are saying that.
I think that's all part of the fix was getting in.
Yeah.
Or was in.
Well, I say absolutely not. The stakes are too high. In the first place, we cannot accept fascism. Secondly,
yes, I hear you.
That is a matter of the survival of the human species. We cannot accept fascism, will not accept fascism, will not stand not one step back. The other thing is, as I said, it's very clear and mathematically provable. This election was thrown. Absolutely
well,
thrown.
Thank you for getting this out there.
A valid election. Well, thanks. It's great to hear your voice. Linda Olson Osterlin, you can find many of her broadcasts on KBOO.FM. By the way, one of the first things you can do, and one of the most effective things you can do, is think of two people. Think of two people that you know. And think what it would be like to talk to them and say, I know this radio station where you can hear this music and that music. We have so many kinds of music. We have everything from bluegrass to Bhangra. And you can hear it on this radio station, and it's a joy. And you can tune in this radio station in the middle of the night at 3:30 a.m., and you won't hear ads for quack cancer cures and Rogaine. You will hear very creative programming. And we have non-corporate, non-aligned people's community news and public affairs. And that is what I enjoy the most participating in. If you can think of two people to tell that this station exists, because in this market, this radio market, this station is still pretty much an insider's secret. That's just the way it has worked out. We don't like to spend a lot of money on advertising. We have an absolutely solid funding method that has worked for the nearly 50 years we've been on the air. We're solid, but in these times, we need more ears. The nation needs more ears. There's so much at stake. I said fascism, but the global warming deniers, the fossil fuel fools, are being set up in the Trump cabinet, and they intend to crank up the coal plants, crank up the coal mining. They intend to crank up the fracking. They intend to crank up the nuclear power industry. They're going to make things so much worse. We have to stop them, and it's harder now because we're on the other side of that respectability now that Hillary Clinton foolishly has conceded the election without even checking to see if it was legitimate. She has conceded, and the corporate press and the momentum of the American society is going to put that guy in office on January 20th. I say general strike. What do you say? A number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Mike is on the air.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, general strike, that's really the key word. Because, I was just thinking, America, working people, they don't know how to win. They don't know how to win this. When you live in a representative government, you're basically relying on other people to keep your freedom in check. And the only way that the working class people can really take power in their own hands is through a general strike. That's the only way. Buzzwords ain't going to get it. None of that other stuff is going to do it. You have to, like America is a gigantic plantation, and we're all economic slaves. And keep in mind that the slave master is nothing without his slaves. So if the slaves revolt, and one of the ways to revolt is through a general strike, if you don't do that, you're not going to change anything. You can't elect nobody to go and fight your battles. Nobody's going to go fight your battles for you. I mean, ever since America has been a country, you know, it has never worked for the working people. So after 200 plus years, how come the American people today is surprised? I mean, that's what gets me. I mean, you guys go off on tangents like sexual things or all of this other stuff. I mean, it don't matter. Just quit working. If you quit working, then this economy will come to a standstill, and then they'll listen to you.
Right on. But the robots aren't here yet.
Pardon?
I said right on. The robots aren't here yet. They depend on us.
They depend on us. And so if you're not willing to stay in and don't go to work, if you're not willing to sacrifice that stuff, you're not going to win. And see, that's what most people in America, they're so materialistic. They don't want to sacrifice a paycheck. They're so programmed to get that weekly or biweekly money until, you know, they don't want to risk that. But yet they want to talk about how free they want to be. I mean, golly, get real. So, you know, that's my take on it. That's one of the reasons.
Well said.
That's one of okay, man, you have a good one.
You too. Very well said. Thank you very much. The number to call, 503-231-8187. This election, this illegitimate throne election, was a temper tantrum of white supremacy. And speaking as a white person, it is time to destroy whiteness. Whiteness is white supremacy. Because in a real sense, there is no such thing as white. It's merely a status. I'm of Irish and German Jewish heritage, and I get called white. Someone from Finland gets called white. Someone from Poland gets called white. Someone from South Africa who's white gets called white. These are very different phenotypes. They are different people. They are different societies. White is a status. And bringing up apartheid again, under apartheid, Japanese people were white. No one there thought that Japanese people looked white. It was a status. And so when you hear that to be white is to be racist, that's what it means. You're not white if you look like me. The skin's not white. It's a status. We need to destroy that. Need to come out and say whiteness is a mental frame that is used to oppress people who are not on the inside of that elite group. And it's time to end it. And the first way to end it is to admit that it exists, to admit that whiteness is supremacy, and to destroy whiteness, and find out who you are. Find out where your ancestors come from. It's going to free your mind, and it's going to add richness to your life to find out what you really are, fellow white people, because you're not white. And whiteness must die. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Paul is on the air.
Oh, thank you, Teresa.
You're welcome.
I appreciate everything you're saying. I have come up with an idea. I don't know how it can fly or not, but supposedly we own the airwaves. And I'm thinking, why don't we tax all election campaign funding that the media collects at 50%, and if there's mudslinging, 75%, then that money would go to a campaign finance reform budget, which would fund local candidates. Initiatives, measures would be taxed at 75%, and the money used for independent review of measures and the facts pro and con would be published, broadcast in clear language.
Well, let a thousand flowers bloom. It ain't a bad idea. We do own the airwaves, supposedly, and under that paradigm, I would say that it should be illegal to charge money for political ads. All broadcast entities must be forced to put in a certain metered amount of political statements, ads, speeches, and it must be metered out evenly and equitably, and that would destroy the industry. That would wipe out millions and millions, probably billions now, billions of dollars every election cycle for the corporate-owned media. So they will fight that tooth and nail. But if it's our airwaves, why do we have to pay for a political speech on it? It should be absolutely ours. You know, when the FCC was created, there was talk of the universities of the air, and the American people were going to gain all this knowledge because they would be able to have free college coming over the radio. Well, that's a joke, and that's, you know, 100 years gone almost.
Well, KBOO does it.
KBOO does it. And KBOO, tell someone about KBOO, please.
Oh, yeah, definitely, all the time.
Thanks for calling in. The number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Trump for America is a nonprofit group chaired by Governor Chris Christie to oversee the Trump transition. It holds regular meetings at the Washington, D.C. offices of Baker Hostetler. On Thursday, the group hosted a breakfast at Baker Hostetler, attended by Microsoft's Ed Engel and Steve Hart, two lobbyists who, according to filings, have worked to promote the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And other transition meetings have included briefings with the Financial Services Roundtable and the Investment Company Institute. This is from The Intercept, and the point here is that all those who are counting on Trump being his own self, well, no, it's just more corporate rule. Number to call, 503-231-8187, and Jeff is on the air.
Hey, good morning, Teresa. Thank you for your service. I just want to thank you for bringing this topic up because it seems to be vanished even in the left, the conversation about voter theft, and nothing's been corrected since 2000. It's only been increased in its exactingness. And then the other thing is I want to say I just happened to look up last night and this morning after I was down at the rally and the march last night, the Andy Trump rally. Two things I want to say about that. One is when you look and do any kind of search on the internet, it says dozens of people protested in Portland, which is about 100 times.
Yeah, some press said 1,000. So,
yeah, I was there. There was 5,000 to 8,000 people easily. We ended up marching down I-5, and I could see from the on ramp at the Rose Quarter there, all the way down to the city center exit. I mean, it was just the whole freeway was filled with people all the way down out of sight.
I'm glad to hear it because the election was thrown and we can't allow a fascist to take office.
Yeah. And so that's the last thing I want to say is it was a horrible decision to have to make between which candidate. And of course, I gave mine to Jill Stein knowing that Oregon was safely blue state.
Me too.
But I'll say that it was getting in the streets was an antidote for the desperation and despair that wanted to kind of cloud into my mind. So I would suggest that to anybody that's feeling down is get involved.
Oh, heck yeah. Deal with your grief and rage. Feel it. Understand it. But let's mobilize.
Yeah, the mobilization was the antidote to that sense of powerlessness. So there it is.
Thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And you're listening to KBOO Portland, KBOO.fm. Michelle is on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much, Teresa. I've been listening to you for a while, and I love your program. And I was captive to some John Oliver last week who was talking about the Herbalife Pyramid Ponzi scheme. And it has occurred to me for years that our entire system is a giant pyramid Ponzi scheme, and not to mention a debt system in and of itself. So that feeds off the people at the bottom. And I was just listening to Mike, and I've listened to him call him before, and I know that he voted for Trump because he's not shy about saying so. And it's interesting that he's saying now that we should fight with our stop working and do all these things. But people every day buy products that feed into this whole thing. They buy into their cell phone contracts that feed into this Republican Party. They spend their dollars senselessly every day on products that feed this machine of corporate power. And that is certainly one way that they can stop. They should just stop feeding their dollars into these corporations. And they need to do the research to figure out where they should spend their money to support B Corps, to support food that feeds you and nourishes you. And also the whole thing about stopping working, we would have to actually trust each other and come together in order for that support to happen and get back to growing food in our yards and talking to our neighbors and creating connections that make sense. And not live in fear because we have support of one another.
Sure. Well, a general strike can happen for one day or a few days and has quite a political effect. So I like what you're saying there.
It's just one piece, you know. It's just that support piece where people are so alone, they're so afraid, they're so told every day that they're not enough, they'll never be enough, you'll never have enough. And enough is not, I mean, enough is enough. I mean, we have to realize that this, you know, I remember in the 80s when you can buy clothes that make you look like an artist, you know, they had paint on them or whatever. This image thing is just so ridiculous at this point.
Well, it's because we don't have real lives and we don't have solidarity with each other. We don't have the satisfaction that would bring. And so, you know, the general strike is just one idea. And I like that the idea that you're putting forward. And, you know, there's so many things that we can do. There's so many aspects of this that need to be handled. I mean, Muslims are under attack. Yes. We need to operate in solidarity with Muslims. Hispanics are under attack. There's a huge deportation wave planned. We are going to have to plant our feet against that. There's so much to do. Yes. And as I say, telling people about KBOO radio and joining up with KBOO is one thing that you can do.
Yes, and I talk to people about it every day. And the other thing is I'm a white girl in America. I grew up in the hood, essentially. I know what that is like. And people are just not taught. I mean, we have to feel more for one another, honestly. It's like, I get that when I was experiencing reverse racism, that I understood it. I understood the despair because I was in it. And so there is an intuition and a common sense that needs to occur. But also, it has to occur in general. It has to occur to you that another person is a person. They have the same feelings and desires and needs as all of us. And the one quote, and I don't know if it's Chief Seattle, but it's like this whole, like, after the last tree is felled and the last fish is caught, you know, these people might realize that you can't eat money. You can't drink money. You can't breathe money. It just isn't where things lie.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to let that happen.
And I thank you for that. But if 2012 signified anything, it should have been the end of materialism. And I think that, you know, that has a lot to do with it. We have got to stop being materialists and start being people of substance.
Thank you very much for your call. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And Barth is on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Always a good show. Thanks for your work.
You're welcome.
A nitpick here. A throne election usually means that it's like a throne fight where somebody takes a dive and collapses, and the so-called winner is declared, and, you know, the bets are paid off. This election was stolen. It was, you know, purloined. It was
okay. Good point. That's better language. I accept that.
If this evidence is out there so much, I don't know that it's going to do us any good with a Trump Supreme Court position coming up.
No, we have to act on it with our media.
Indeed. Thanks for raising the alarm and waving the flag. I think that you're pushing out the base of KBOO is a very good place to start. People who are listening who aren't members can be a member today, and you can give memberships for Yule or any other good reason. And if you go to the Give Guide as well, KBOO's on there. Start making things happen, people. Put out the ripples for yourself. Make your life different. Thank you.
Right on. Thanks. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Add these facts together. The interstate cross-check voter registration purge has removed 1 in 6 people of color. according to Greg Palast. Electronic vote switching has been taking place because the machines in Ohio and surely elsewhere had their election integrity systems shut off. They turned the switch. Byzantine gerrymandering of districts is throwing the election, stealing the election. Denial of poll stations, forcing hours-long lines that people had to abandon. Hundreds, more than 800 poll stations closed in order to keep people of color from voting. Voter intimidation happened across the nation. There's a list on motherjones.com. And the fact that Trump did not win the popular vote, add that all together and you can see the forest and not just the trees. Trump won by mass cheating. This presidential election is invalid. The number to call, 503-231-8187. I want to thank Engineer Rock because he works with me so well. He knows that I have a bit of social anxiety, and when he tells me a name, it goes right in one ear and out the other. And so when I give the number, he helps me by giving the name again. That is so good. Thank you so much, Rock. And Harry is on the air.
Good morning, Teresa, and thank you for taking my call. With all this information, can we take it to the Election Commission or maybe even to the UN Election Commission? So maybe we need UN monitors during our election.
Let's do that too. I'm calling this election invalid. I want the UN to come in and hold another election, and I want to know what elements of the armed forces will back us up to do it. I'm that serious.
Well, we could have blue helmeted UN troops at all the polling stations.
Oh, yeah, we could.
Yeah, and so it's kind of, I think that's probably what needs to be happen is go to the UN. I can't think of anything else. What can we do? And also, since Hillary conceded, can she go back? Is there a reason why she can't say, hey, I didn't realize I got cheated?
She's so invested in conformity and assuming that the system is straight up and that it's okay, that it's legitimate. I can't imagine her doing that. We should call for her to do it.
Yeah, and also this happened in 2004 with Kerry, and Kerry conceded too early, and they found out that if he didn't, he might have won Ohio and probably won the presidency.
Which makes you wonder if the whole thing is rigged.
Yeah, well, I mean, he promised, Kerry promised, I will make sure, because after 2000, I'll make sure every vote was counted, and he didn't. So maybe now all the both parties now need to, even though they count the votes, they have to be recounted and maybe two or three times before, you know, the election result is given.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have a legitimate election?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think your great idea for a general strike on January 20th, that's when they inauguration day, correct?
Yes.
Okay, well, also, some of the people who don't want to say their bosses, you know, general strike, you know, we used to call it the blue flu.
Yeah, there's that. And there's the fact that if a huge number of people are doing it, then it's just impossible to enforce work rules. I mean, especially if you're in an area where, you know, and I imagine that Portland would participate more than a lot of other towns.
Yeah, but, and also during the inauguration, will there be a lot of hecklers there? I assume there will be.
Oh, yeah, I imagine. yes, very much. Hey, thanks very much for your call.
Thank you very much.
Coming up this morning on KBOO Portland at 10, it's Air Cascadia with Chris Andre at 10:15 on Flashpoints with host David Bernstein. It's a special post-election edition with award-winning filmmaker, columnist, and author John Pilger at 11. On Between the Covers, Dan Johnson sits down with author Buzz Bernard to discuss his latest thriller, Cascadia, a novel that imagines the effects of a major earthquake and tsunami in Oregon. And at 11:30, SW Conser hosts Words and Pictures, conversations with pioneering animators and comic artists. Thanks for supporting KBOO. If you're not a member, how about pulling up KBOO.fm and kicking down and check the schedule there and see when your favorite music is on. I think you'll really enjoy that. Remember, when you listen to community free radio, and if you listen to an old-fashioned plug-in or battery-powered radio, no one can track your choice of information and news. You can't be tracked like you can on a computer. It's a nice feeling. So why not get yourself one? KBOO 90.7 FM. The number to call, 503-231-8187. And Steve is on the air.
Hi, Teresa. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Hey, I'd like to say I appreciate you stating that, you know, the white is a status and that we all have nationalities and not race. But one thing I noticed that you didn't say that a lot of people should hear and understand also, that black is a status also. And we all have nationalities and not just, you know, based on skin color.
Right on.
If you go to different countries, you know, they don't judge you by your race or your skin. They ask you your nationality. And when you said it, you have Irish or German, those are nationalities, you know. And most of the so-called black people here, you know, they have no idea what their nationality is. They think it's black, and it's not a nationality. The majority of them are Moors and don't know that. They need to do the history of who they are and, you know, come off of this dead status, which is black. They don't understand it. You know, that's the bottom. And you have people in North Africa who are dark-complected who are considered white because it's a status, not a race of colors. It has nothing to do with the skin tone.
An excellent point. Thank you for saying that.
And then when you look at this, when you go get a job and you fill out the application, black, they ask you black, white, Hispanic, then they Chinese or all these other nationalities. How come they black and white are not nationalities, but yet they throw them in there as though they are? You know, that makes no sense. So those are the things to think about.
Yeah, excellent point. It's time to open our minds. Time to open my mind in that regard.
Have a good day.
Thanks for calling in. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. And Donald Trump shocked everyone but his own supporters as his racist, xenophobic, authoritarian, climate science-denying, misogynistic, grab them by the genitalia. That's not the actual word that's written down here in The Intercept by Alex Emmons. Candidacy somehow carried him to victory. Larger than expected turnout among rural and working-class white voters led Trump to outperform polling expectations. And that's an article that you can find on The Intercept. Rather than go further with that, I'll go to Julie, who's on the air.
Hi, Teresa. Thank you. Wanted to say that I think that by Trump saying that the election was rigged, like way before anybody voted, that he could set himself up to, no matter, you know, if he was in the position that Hillary was in right now, he could say, oh, it was rigged. Look at this. Look at that. Look at how. And he could throw whatever fit he wanted to throw. But right now, he's not saying anything was rigged. I mean, all of a sudden, it's not rigged at all.
I think that's a good point. And I think that he probably also knew that the Republican Party was going to rig it in these various ways that I've outlined. And he wanted to throw attention on the other side. It was just a ploy to make people look at the Democratic Party and say, oh, the Democratic Party and the Russians or something might rig the election, while the Republican Party was rigging the hell out of the election for apartheid rule.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. Number to call with comments and questions, 503-231-8187. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell, and Zach is on the air.
Hey, Teresa, thanks for taking my call. Real quick, I know I only have a couple minutes. I need to correct one of your last callers. A so-called white woman who proclaimed herself hood and claimed to face reverse racism. You're usually good about calling out that kind of stuff. I've listened to your program a couple months now, but we need to call out that kind of behavior and just really not allow people to do that, because that's not, reverse racism isn't real. Come on.
Well, I have to agree, and I don't recall hearing that phrase.
I heard it. I don't know. Maybe you missed it, but I'm pretty sure I heard it.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. And real quick, can I make one other point?
Yes.
I saw this morning on the internet. So the Electoral College doesn't actually vote until December 19th. So we can petition our electors and, you know, maybe try to force them to have what is called like a faithless elector.
I like that. There's the music. And so we're going off the air. Thanks for that idea. Yeah, sure. Let's talk to the electors because this election was illegitimate for the reasons that I have outlined. And we need to enforce what little democracy we have available to us. We need to oppose this election. I am calling for a general strike on January 20th. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Air Cascadia is coming up next. We broadcast to you at 90.7 FM from the Big Tower, our big red and white Eiffel Tower on the West Hills in Portland, Oregon. Other frequencies elsewhere in Cascadia, and we are on KBOO.FM in the World Wide Web, and in that manner we go out to all the ships at sea.
And good morning, KBOO Portland, your community radio station. A couple minutes in front of 10 o'clock, we're about 15 minutes away from kicking off Flashpoints today with host Dennis Bernstein. It's a special post-election edition with award-winning filmmaker, columnist, and author John Pilger. At 11 today on Between the Covers, Dan Johnson sits down with author Buzz Bernard to discuss his latest thriller, Cascadia, a novel that imagines the effects of a major earthquake and tsunami in Oregon. And at 11:30, SW Concert hosts Words and Pictures, conversations with pioneering animators and comic artists. But stick around. Up next, it's Air Cascadia with Chris Andre. Hey, thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Aftermath, part of the Brown Paper series produced by Triangle Productions. The play runs November 28th at 7 p.m. at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. In Mary Burrell's 1919 one-act, John Thornton, a young black soldier who has served his country in World War I, comes home to rural South Carolina. His homecoming is disrupted when he learns that someone close to him has been lynched by a white mob. Again, that's Aftermath, produced by Triangle Productions, November 28th at 7 p.m. at The Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.